ReedyLandco.com, and Roy Philpott, ESPN play-by-play voice, will join us. Also, live updates from the British Open. That's when you join us. 3-hour show, 6 to 9 a.m. for the Mickey Pollard Show Friday right here on The Roar.
Walt Dibtulu, road rage. All right, I just tweeted that just 30 seconds ago. I tweeted why Clemson is going to beat LSU. Because last night I was tweeting about Clemson football, all right? And I'll give you the gist of what I was saying last night before I read you what I just tweeted. And you can find it on my Twitter feed, obviously, at Dibtulu's Rage, where you should be following me anyway. I do a separate show over there. Look. The reality is that in terms of Clemson, the closer we get to this game, the more convinced I become that Clemson is going to beat LSU. I have been of the opinion all along that Clemson would win, that it would be tight, and I felt pretty good about that. But I've also been of the opinion that it didn't affect my year-long prediction. In other words, if LSU came in here and won, Clemson could still go on and play for the national championship. So it's not, this game is not a necessity. It isn't. And I've made that clear even in my projections. I mean, it won't change. The outcome of this game will not change my view on whether Clemson's playing for the national title. It will not. It will not confirm, it will not dissuade, none of it. My view is going to remain my view. I think Clemson is going to play Penn State for the national championship. And so I'm not really worried about the outcome of that game. But the closer we get to it, the more I become convinced that Clemson is, in fact, going to win the game. And I also wrote that Cade Klubnik is the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. I said, I don't care what Vegas says. I mean, why would I? We've owned Vegas for a million years. Cade Klubnik is the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. It's not Arch Manning. It can't be. I mean, Arch Manning is a sentimental vote. It's a popular vote. I get it. That's a public play, all right? But no real football person is going to pick Arch Manning. It doesn't mean he can't win it. He's super talented. He's going to be great. But it's his first full year as a starter. And that normally means that there's going to be some game or two along the way where he makes some sort of fatal mistake. You learn from doing. You know, it's true in every sport. It's why teams, you know, for example, in the history of the NBA playoffs, you have to go down the road before you actually close the deal. So I think Cade Klubnik is the front runner. I don't think this is hard. I keep seeing Clemson people write things like, well, you know, Cade can't win the Heisman because Dabo won't let him do this and Dabo won't let him do that. That's just nonsense. It's just crazy talk. I mean, the reality is that Clemson has a more competitive schedule this year. Garrett Riley already said that he shouldn't have taken his foot off the gas in at least two games last year, the Pittsburgh game, the South Carolina game, and should have kept producing. Those of you who think that Christopher Zina is going to play like half the snaps, that's not happening. Cade Klubnik is going to take the snaps, and he's going to put up big numbers, but it's not the numbers that win you the Heisman Trophy. It's the wins. Cade Klubnik can basically win the Heisman Trophy in the first game of the year. That's a real possibility. If Arch Manning does not go on to have the type of wild success, or he has some flub games, which he's going to, all right, then the next two guys in the Vegas pecking order are Nussmeier at 2 and Cade at 3. Well, if three beats two in the opening game of the year and plays well in doing it, who's the front runner for the Heisman Trophy? Even more so if Arch Manning goes on the road and loses at Ohio State, which I don't think is going to happen, but let's just say he does. Cade Klubnik has an ideal chance in game one, not just to set his team on a course for the national championship, but he has an ideal chance to win the Heisman Trophy. The best chance any Clemson player has ever had. It's right there in game one for him. So, and part of that would be you're knocking off the other, what I think is the other chief contender. If you win that head-to-head battle, you would be knocking off the other chief contender for the award. So it's just dumb to think that, Cade can't win the Heisman Trophy. Of course he can. Of course he can win the Heisman Trophy. And he, in my mind, he's the favorite. You know, I gave you some long shot plays for the Heisman, but I think he's the favorite. All right, so here's what I just posted. All right, and this is why Clemson is going to beat LSU. Because I had a South Carolina fan write me yesterday. I think it was a South Carolina fan. And he said, Clemson Brad mentions, not to mention Sammy Blitzing, etc. Yeah, I covered that. It's in there. But yes. I'm looking for this tweet from a South Carolina fan on Clemson football. Here it is. Gamecock Austin. Gamecock Austin wrote, oh, no. Okay, that was the response. Here's his original message. He said, it's going to be a big test for where Clemson is this year. LSU has recruited top 10 classes the past 3 years, plus brought in 11 four-star transfers in 2025. They're stacked with talent to choose from. They'll really show the quality of Clemson's passing defense this year. And I responded to that by saying, going to be a much bigger test for LSU. They have issues, whether you realize them or not, like the loss of 2 4-year starting offensive tackles versus Parker and Help. Okay, so now I'll go to my tweet that I just posted. I really think this is the game. I wrote this. Here's the whole deal on Clemson LSU. Clemson wins if they can affect Nussmeier, move him off his spot, disrupt him. So how does the big if happen? LSU lost two elite career starters at the offensive tackle spots. The replacements will be going against two guys named Parker and Held in a hostile environment where getting off the snap will also be advantage Clemson. Allen will bring extra bodies as well. Nussmeier is QB1 in the NFL draft if it was held today, but none of that will save him if LSU can't establish the run and protect him. And that's the whole game. You know, look, if you want to simplify all of football and say it all comes down to turnovers, it does. Duh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we move past that and we talk about football reasons a team can win or lose. All right. And in the football reasons category, this is what favors Clemson. All right. It's, first of all, there are some other areas that I think favor Clemson versus LSU, but in terms of the main area, all right. 1 year ago, LSU had two All-American offensive tackles. One of them was the first offensive tackle drafted in the National Football League draft this year in Campbell. The other, Jones, was a top 100 selection. Both of those guys played 4 years. They were lifers at LSU. They both started as freshmen. I watched their first college game. I watched them both go up against Will Anderson the same game. Those guys anchored those spots since then. Both of them are gone. And even if LSU has talent replacing them, whether they do or not, those guys are going into a hostile environment as first-time starters, and they're going up against Parker and Held. That does not favor LSU. There's just no way it does. It's just impossible. It does not favor LSU. Remember, this whole game is going to be about, can Clemson disrupt and affect Nussmeier? All right. If LSU still had those two All-American caliber offensive tackles on their roster and they're going to come in here and play in this environment, then I would say, okay, yeah, maybe. Maybe those two guys take care of business against Parker and Helder, at least hold their own. Stalemate. That's not what you have here. This is a massive advantage, Clemson, with Parker and Held, even in terms of getting off the snap. It's difficult. And, you know, people say, well, you know, LSU plays in lots of loud environments. Well, they do. They don't play in lots of loud environments with two starting first-time tackles. Both these guys are first-time starters at LSU as offensive tackles. And they're going to have to go up against those two defensive ends in the noise of this building. The real Death Valley. The original Death Valley. Sorry, Brian Kelly. They're going to have to go up against that. I don't think that bodes well for them. I don't. And as I said, and then Tom Allen is going to bring extra bodies. Sammy Brown is going to be a massive disruptor this year, but Tom Allen is going to bring extra bodies. And I don't know how early or how often, but I think the other key, which was a part of that message, is LSU is going to have to run the football in order to be able to keep the dogs off of Nussmeier. Can they do that? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure they can. I'm not sure. I know what happened last year. Last year was last year. It was completely different staff. It was a different defensive coordinator. It was different personnel. It was different body types. This Clemson defense up front is going to be far nastier, far filthier, have better depth than the unit we saw a year ago, and have better starting talent. You know, Peter Woods at 300, Will Held anchoring the other defensive end spot across from Parker. I think that poses LSU some major problems. And the more I think about this game, the more I think LSU after Clemson is going to go on to have a great year. I really do. I think they're going to win a lot of football games. I think Nussmeier may set records. But game one here, I think it's going to be tough. I think the specific matchups that will be tough. And, you know, look, we'll learn early on. We're going to learn early on these factors that could tip it back towards LSU. Can LSU run it? That would help keep the Clemson defense honest in terms of the amount of pressure they can put on Nussmeier. If not, and regardless, can those two tackles hold up against Parker and Held? Can they hold up? Can they allow Nussmeier time to set his feet in a pocket and pick apart Clemson's defense? If they can, they'll win the game. But I think given who they are at those two spots, who Clemson is at those two spots, and finally, given the noise of that building with first-time starting offensive tackles against Parker and Held, I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem on the snap. I think it's a problem in terms of get-off. I think that will be further advantage to Parker and Held, and that's why the closer we get to this game, the more convinced I become that Clemson wins. And I think that's what's going to happen. So that's what the game comes down to, in my estimation, and I'm just not sure LSU has answers to that. I don't think they do. Again, I think they're a really good team that's going to go on to have a really good year. I just don't think it's going to start here. I don't. And so if those things I just described actually happen, and Clemson is able to affect Nussmeier, who knows, maybe turn him over, then not only does Clemson get off to a great start on the year and win what will be one of the two hardest games on the schedule in their mission to win an ACC title and get back to the college football national championship, but in addition, Cade Klubnik will emerge as a leader, as the leader, I believe, for the Heisman Trophy, as the leader. And there's nothing on the schedule for him to relinquish that. If you're worried about whether he throws for 300 yards or 350 against some team like a Wake Forest or something, you need not worry about that. It's not going to have any bearing on the Heisman Trophy. All that will have bearing on the Heisman Trophy, if Cade Klubnik beats Nussmeier and LSU in game one, he will be the leader. If he wins the rest of his games, he's your Heisman Trophy winner. It's just that simple. He will win. Even if he goes 11-1, if he wins that matchup, he is going to be your Heisman Trophy winner. And I think that's what's going to happen.
I think that Clemson is going to play for the national championship. I think Cade Klubnik is going to win the Heisman Trophy. And furthermore, if Peter Woods at 300 is what I think Peter Woods at 300 can be, then I think Peter Woods is going to have a great chance to win the Outland Trophy. Clemson has never won an Outland Trophy, never won a Heisman Trophy. Clemson could do all of those things potentially in game one of the year. Those things could all be well on their way to happening in the first game of the season if it plays out like I think it will. Clemson wins, gets a big win against an SEC team, moves on to their season-long goals. Cade Klubnik positions himself as the front-runner for the Heisman Trophy, and Peter Woods positions himself as the front-runner for the Outland Trophy. I think all of those things very legitimately could happen. And you're not going to be able to help too much on Peter Woods because those two defensive ends are going to occupy some attention. So game one, in some ways, might be the biggest regular season game Clemson has played in the modern era, even though the game itself means nothing. But in terms of all of the potential that could come from this game down the road, this game could set standards in the history of Clemson football and set two individual Clemson players on their ways, on their paths to what I consider the two greatest trophies in college football, the Heisman and the Outland. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break.
Hey, Tiger fans, Don Munson here to tell you about Buff City Soap. You'll find delightfully scented plant-based soaps that are handmade daily. They're on a mission to create handmade products that are free of harsh ingredients and full of nourishing plant-based goodies to make your skin happy. They have beard oil, pet soap, bath bombs, laundry soap, body butter, and more. The Munson household is sold. Nourish your skin at Buff City Soap with two locations to serve you in the upstate. Hartwell Village Shopping Center in Clemson and the Shops at Green Ridge in Greenville.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Little League International presents the Senior League World Series July 26th through August 2nd at J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. See teams from Australia, Asia, Latin America, Europe, Canada, and the U.S. compete for the Senior League World Series Championship among the world's best 13 to 16-year-olds. 12 teams playing with the championship August 2nd. Join thousands and cheer on these great young players. The Senior League World Series in Easley, July 26th through August 2nd.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
Hey guys, dealing with ED or low T? Don't just accept it. Act like a man and fix it. Your old lady will thank you. Guaranteed. At Low Country Male, testosterone and ED plans start at just $5 a day. You'll get labs, unlimited doctor visits, and real results. Right now, get 2 months of free ED meds with any new plan, plus 30% off NAD Plus and peptides. With 8 South Carolina locations, it's time to make men men again. Visit LowCountryMale.com.
Coming to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center on August 15th, it's Sweet Baby James, America's number one James Taylor tribute, featuring Nashville's own Bill Grisa. No wigs, no gimmicks, just Grisa's stunning vocals and guitar playing that fans call spot on, the next best thing to James, and a refreshingly authentic stage presence. Sing along to classics like Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend, and How Sweet It Is, in a night honoring one of music's most beloved icons. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPack.com.
When the chips are down and the games are close, the 2025 Atlanta Braves don't give up the fight.
Ozuna sends one soaring to deep left field. That's got wings and an engine, and it's 3-1 Braves.
The Upstate's home for Atlanta Braves baseball all season long. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
It's bow time.
Introducing Bojangles' new breakfast burrito. It's your favorite crispy bow rounds, savory sausage, fluffy eggs, cheese, and southern gravy all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. But hurry, it's here for a limited time.
It's bow time.
Hey, Joe Fortenball here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with the promo code JOEQ to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, the only place in the Upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Killing Bill again today. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. Quick break. We are back. I saw something today on NFL wide receiver rankings. I want to get to at some point too. We'll get to that. But I do want to talk some college football scheduling today. And Ramon, I may need you to pull up these schedules as we go. I have a handwritten schedules on some of these teams. But again, I did this a while ago. Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you, Robert? Good to have you.
Walt, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
You might want to be careful. You know, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I came on air, and after considering everything that you just talked about, I said I fully expect Clemson to win this game. Didn't say it was going to be a blowout. Man, Joe called me, I don't know, ridiculous or something like that. I can't remember what he said. It wasn't really that important. But, I'm not saying LSU can't win this game. They certainly can. But, man, I expect Clemson to win. With everything you just talked about, I expect them to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the key issues. And I think LSU will find some resolution to those issues as the season goes on. I just am not sure that they're going to find resolution in game one in this type of environment. I think
there's a lot of newness.
Yeah, I think those tackles are going to experience something they have not experienced before. And I think that's what the game comes down to, because, again, the game ultimately comes down to Clemson's ability to affect Nussmeier.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I do disagree with you, and I hate to do it because, I mean, you've proven you know what you're talking about, but, I mean, well, how fun would your show be if all the callers disagreed with everything you said?
That's a fact.
So I'm going to stick my neck out there.
Let's go.
You know, when I made that call a few weeks ago, the only thing Brian Kelly had said was that he fully expected to win the first game.
Yeah.
And I brought that up.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot more said since then. And honestly, Walt, I think LSU loses three or four games this year. Especially if they lose that Clemson game. Because, man, there's a lot of stuff going to come crashing down if they lose that Clemson game. And you look at their schedule. I mean, one of the losses won't be to Ole Miss. Let's get that off, you know, that straight. But you're talking about, I think South Carolina is going to beat LSU. You got Florida. You've got Oklahoma. You've got Texas A&M. I mean, I'm telling you, man, this season could come crashing down on LSU.
Maybe, but you have a talented running back. You have the best quarterback in America. A guy who's going to be the first pick in the draft as of today. You've got a much more loaded receiving core with Green at tight end. And I think the defense is going to be improved over where it was. And they also have a freshman 355-pound defensive tackle who Whit Weeks has been talking about over and over again. If Weeks and Perkins are healthy, and it appears they are, then I think the defense is going to be that much better. Look, I think this is a good football team. All right, I
think they are too.
And I think if they come here and lose a competitive game, I don't think that hurts them in any way. I think that, you know, again, the game is here. You know, if the game was at LSU, maybe we'd be talking about a different potential outcome. But it's here. And I just think this is a tough place for an opponent to come and win. And I think LSU could still go on to a great season with the pieces they have, and especially once those tackles settle in. I just think it's a tough draw for them in that regard. That when, again, you've started the same two dudes at tackle. Every time you looked out there the last 4 years, the same two guys have been out there. They're not now. And now you're going to go to a hostile, super hostile environment, and you can start two new tackles against guys with the ability of Parker and Held. And I just think that doesn't bode well for protecting Nussmeier. Now, look, if they come out and prove they can run the ball, well, then they'll be able to protect him, and then it's going to be a long day for Clemson. I just don't think that's going to happen either. I don't think Tom Allen is going to allow that. And I think Clemson's defense is going to be very jacked up early. So I don't think there's going to be any coming out and establish any run early in the game.
Yeah. I would like to know how much time Nussmeier and all his new weapons have spent together this summer, and how well they're going to be, you know.
Well, see, I think that's another distinction in the game. I mean, if you want to say, again, when I rank the receiving rooms, I put Clemson 2 and LSU 3 in the nation. That's just coincidental. It had no bearing on that game, no. I wasn't even considering that game. I didn't really realize I ranked them in that manner. But in that consideration, part of it was, you know, I'm not evaluating wide receiver rooms in a vacuum. I'm considering the quarterbacks and the returning quarterbacks and the talent. But the one of the reasons that Clemson's ahead of LSU, in my mind, is that Clemson actually has more returning production. LSU has potential. Clemson has production. And I think that's that may sound like a subtle distinction, but I don't think it is a very subtle distinction. I think it's a real distinction, you know. And it may well be that over the course of, say, a season or a season plus, that maybe these LSU receivers wind up being better than their Clemson counterparts. But the question is, are they going to be better in the first game here? And I think the answer to that is no.
Yeah, I just think Brian Kelly needs to quit putting so much emphasis on this game, or he might screw his whole season up. Walt, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. You know, it's funny. This stuff about emphasizing one game, I have seen this play out both ways, but almost always there's a price to be paid. You know, and I've seen this, for example, in Colorado, Nebraska, in old Colorado coach, you know, basically decided to red letter every Nebraska game, and it worked for him to a degree against Nebraska. But the problem is there was a price to be paid against everybody else, and that was Gary Barnett, who also coached at Northwestern. But Gary Barnett would always red letter the Nebraska game. He made it the most vital game, and Colorado, without fail, always played well against Nebraska. But they always suffered a price against everybody else because he emphasized that game so much that it had an effect when they didn't play Nebraska. You know, I don't know if Brian Kelly's emphasizing game one is to his advantage or not. I mean, I think he's feeling pressure to do that based on the fact that his teams have lost three consecutive openers. I think he's feeling pressure to emphasize game one. So I think that's what he's doing. I think this is more a public relations ploy than anything else. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, Brian Kelly, you know, believes all this stuff. I think he's trying to calm the masses. Now, if they fail in game one, as I think they're going to, if they fail in game one, the pressure on Brian Kelly is really going to ramp up because it'll be four straight opening losses. And LSU people are not going to settle for that. At that point, he's going to have to turn it around and go on and have a great season the rest of the way and maybe get right back in the mix, which, again, you know, that's the luxury that both these teams have. The loser is not eliminated from anything. It means you're going to have to do a lot of winning from that point on, but the loser is not eliminated from anything. It's a non-conference game, so, you know, that's the reality of it. Matthew and Anderson. Matthew, how are you?
Hey, Walt, how you doing, bud?
Good, Matthew. Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, I want to talk to you about, I watched the press conference where Brian Kelly was making the comments, stuff like that, and his body language was not believable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like his accent. It's like his accent. It's like his Cajun accent.
Sure. Yeah, he's trying to adapt and mold. Let me tell you, when you see somebody like that, it's fake, and then that tells me that I just don't believe his players, like, buy into him, like Dabo's players does.
That's an interesting point.
That matters.
Yeah, that's an interesting
that
point,
really
Matthew.
Matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the score is going to be about 34-21, something like that. I think we'll have a close game to about third quarter, and I think we'll pull away.
All right, I like it, Matthew.
That's all I really got to say.
Yep, good job,
thank you,
Matthew.
Sir, have a great day, buddy.
Thank you.
Good
you
show.
Too. It's a fair point. I mean, it's Clemson players obviously believe and have full faith in Dabo. Do the LSU players have that same degree of faith in Brian Kelly? Or do they have questions about Brian Kelly that just sort of linger beneath the surface, bubbling beneath the surface, just waiting to explode should things not go their way? Is anybody really buying Brian Kelly? Do the LSU players, are they buying that message about game one? Or do they just sort of see through this as, you know, another Brian Kelly fake accent? You know, he doesn't really believe in this. Look, could that be the score? Yeah. Look, I still think we're going to have a relatively close game. I still think LSU is going to have a chance. I just think that the things I wrote when I said this, when I said, here's the whole deal on Clemson LSU. Clemson wins if they can affect Nussmeier, move him off his spot, disrupt him. So how does the big if happen? LSU lost two elite career starters at the offensive tackle spots. Their replacements were going against Parker and Held in a hostile environment where getting off the snap is also advantage Clemson. Allen will bring extra bodies as well. Nussmeier's QB1 in the NFL draft was held today, but none of that will save him if LSU can't establish the run and protect him. You know, when I wrote this stuff, again, I was thinking about the nature of this football game and where this game will be won and lost. And it always comes back to me to this issue of Clemson affecting Nussmeier. I think that's the whole key to the game. But the question again is how does that happen? And again, Tom Allen at times is going to bring extra bodies and he'll disguise them and it'll work. But I think losing the incredible seasoned offensive tackles that LSU had into this environment versus those two defensive ends and whatever blitzes are going to come off those same edges, I think that's a problem. That's how I arrived at my conclusion. Now, again, in terms of score, I don't know. You know, all along I was thinking like 27-24. I'm going to expand that a little. I haven't really thought about a score as yet. Specifically, but I think in terms of what my expectations are, I have become more convinced the more I think about this game that Clemson is going to win the game. And if they do, then it sets them off on the type of season that I expect them to have. Justin says, Walt, How do you see the game going on the other side? While similar situations for Clemson, I believe their chances are more favorable going against the LSU defense than the other way around. In other words, both offenses equal, while I would put the defenses, Clemson, over LSU. Yeah, look, there are still some things we don't know about the LSU defense, like the absolute health of Whit Weeks and Perkins, but I'm assuming both of those guys are going to be full go, and especially from the things Weeks has said. And he's a terrific football player. And, I mean, a terrific football player. If you have to pick a guy who will lead that game in tackles, it'll be him. Listen, he could well win the Buckus. I mean, he is a terrific football player. And Perkins, if he's fully healthy, is a problem as well. So we'll talk more about that. Seminole Ted, I'm coming to you first on the other side. Waltip Tula Road Rage, we'll take a break here.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson & Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
When you need plumbing and drain services, call Roto-Rooter and get the problem fixed fast. Roto-Rooter is locally owned and operated. We've been making troubles go down the drain since 1935, and you can count on us for reliable service at your home or business. Call 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO or schedule service online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
Hi friends, Mickey Potter here. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to cram a bunch of information in 3 hours on Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on the Roar for the Mickey Potter Show. Scott Reimer is going to join us. We're going to reminisce a lot about Clemson football. Josh Williams will be here talking about the British Open. We'll get our hunting and fishing report from my good friends over at ReedyLandCo.com. And Roy Philpott, ESPN play-by-play voice, will join us. Also, live updates from the British Open. That's when you join us. 3 hour show, 6 to 9 a.m. for the Mickey Potter Show Friday right here on the Roar.
Choosing the right candidates for any office can be difficult.
My office has lots of drama.
My office has its ups and downs.
I share my office.
But no matter what kind of office you have, one thing's for certain. If you're hiring, you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds the most qualified candidates for your roles fast, and you can invite your top choices to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, for any kind of office.
I'm really going places in my office.
My office has everything you could ever want.
Count on ZipRecruiter to find the right candidates for it. Try ZipRecruiter for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security, do not call, as Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
If you think Taco Bell is only for late night, you are mistaken. Taco Bell is also for daytime, which is why it's introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu with new Cantina Chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla. And new ingredients like seasoned slow-roasted chicken, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded purple cabbage, and even a new avocado verde salsa packet. It's the Taco Bell for when it's not late night.
Whoa, not just late night. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu now. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations while supplies last. Contact store for participation with fares.
Here at The Roar, every day is game day. We are 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Walt Diptula Road Rage, we are back. You want in? 654-7627, 654-7627. Get on in and join the conversation. All right, telephones. Seminole Ted, how are you, Ted? Good to have you.
I'm doing good. Nothing like a little music from the movie Kill Bill to come back into.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right.
So, I'm excited about football
I love Kill Bill. Yeah, I know some people didn't like it. I love Kill Bill. That dude died. Michael, what's his name? Matson? Is that his name? Michael Matson?
David Carradine.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Matson just died the other day, right?
He did. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, sad to see that.
But no, I'm excited for football season, at least for now anyway. It's kind of a wait and see with us Florida State fans.
At least for now, anyway. That's funny.
Well, I mean, you can't help but be excited about week one. I mean, you have to, right?
Yep.
You just have to hope that the changes that Norvell has made is going to right the ship. The team is going to find cohesiveness and play well together and not quit. And you know, do I think they're going to win the ACC this season? No, I do not. I think that we're going to go somewhere around 7-5, 8-4. You know, I can see a scenario where we even got to 9-3. It's all going to start week one against Alabama. And I'm hoping that we just jump up and surprise the hell out of them, to be honest with you. You just never know what you're going to get, you know?
No. Well, you know, again, you are loaded up on transfers all over your football team. It's like back to square one. You had to start all over again after last year. Last year's team was obviously a disaster. It was the worst collection of offensive talent and offensive production that I have ever seen in the history of college football. I know the whole history, and I have to take into account different eras, but I can make a strong case that Florida State was the worst offensive football team I have ever seen last year, ever. I've seen lots of Iowa football. I can make a strong case that Florida State last year was the singular worst offensive team in the history of collegiate football. You won't find that from a scoring standpoint because there were times the game was played differently. But in this era, you have a Florida State team that played a whole season of D1 competition and scored 20 points once in the opener, and it got worse all year long. And, you know, it's funny because I remember telling people that not only shouldn't DJ not have gone there, but I also told people that he's actually the best player on your offense. I mean, people were trying to blame him early, and then he went through every other quarterback loser, and he got progressively worse. He was the only thing that actually gave you any chance. The rest of the offense was all significantly worse. But, you know, my point all offseason, Ted, as you know, was I felt that Florida State lost 9 of their 10 best players and didn't adequately replace any of them. This time around, you've brought in some guys who can play. I think Deuce Robinson, the big wide receiver from USC, I think he can play. He's 6'6". He's talented, really gifted. I mean, I would imagine that he will quickly become one of Castellanos' favorites. Squirrel White can play some too. You know, Gavin Blackwell. You have some guys now, at least. You have some weapons. And, of course, Castellanos at quarterback, you know, a little bit of a wild card, but at least he has a coach now in Gus Malzahn that he has a comfort level with and who will play to his skill set.
Well, I'll take it off the air, but if you would, just kind of break down real quick what you think they're going to go, and I'll take it off the air. Yeah. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you, Ted. Ramona, pull Florida State schedule, would you? Again, this is going to be a really tough Mickey Plyler's win game. I don't know, really. I have questions about both Alabama and Florida State. I have questions about both teams. I know Bama's like a 12.5-point favorite. I'm not laying 12.5 points with Bama. You're insane. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, okay. If you take this game, you have to take Florida State. I'm not advocating taking this game. I have just too many questions about both teams. But I am telling you, there's no way on God's green earth I'm laying 12.5 with Alabama with an unknown quarterback themselves. I mean, honestly, the only proven quarterback in the game is Castellanos. All right, go ahead.
Alabama home.
I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me get Jason in here, and we'll get to Florida State's schedule when we come back from the top of the hour, probably.
Okay.
Jason in Columbia. Jason, good to have you as always.
Hey, Walt. Hey, I love to talk about the LSU game here. You know, I was curious to get your opinion from an X's and O's perspective as far as game plans. You know, I was shocked, Walt. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have been. You know, LSU last year had a top 10 passing offense. That wasn't the shocking part. We knew that Nussmeier threw it all over the yard, even without the wide receivers that Jaden Daniels had. But their rushing offense was 107th in the nation. And that just kind of, I think some of that is a byproduct. They had some injuries. I remember they had a guy maybe in the opening game last year against, didn't they play Southern Cal in the opener?
Yes.
And yeah. And I think they had a guy that had come back from a couple of injuries that got banged up in that game. But, you know, I'm just thinking ahead to, obviously, Clemson struggled so much against the rush last season. I wonder, in that respect, is it going to be kind of like weakness against weakness if LSU tries to run? You know, yeah. Obviously, I would expect them to spend more time getting Nussmeier going.
Well, let me say this. Okay, I think Brian Kelly found his running back in Caden Durham. I think Caden Durham is a really gifted back who's going to be the next great LSU running back, and I think he rushes for 1,200 yards or more this year. So I don't think they're going to have a problem running the football over the course of the season with Caden Durham. That does not mean that they won't have trouble running it here. I think Clemson's defense, at least in terms of stopping the run, is going to be dramatically better than they were last year. I mean, like, night and day better. I just have no doubt. I think they have the right people in the right condition at the right places and filled the areas of concern. I don't think you have any more runaround block linebackers. They're gone. And so I'm really optimistic about the nature of Clemson's run defense because I just think the run fits and the gap integrity is going to be really good with Tom Allen, and I expect that from the get-go. But regardless of what happens in that game, Caden Durham, if he stays healthy, is going to go on and have a really big year for LSU. And if he does that, then it's going to be very, very difficult for the rest of the teams that LSU faces during the year to deal with that offense because Nussmeier and those receivers are going to have their way if they can run the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, I was looking back over LSU. We know that they've had well, let me back up. We know Clemson obviously had a defensive problem last year. But that I would regard that, even though it was kind of trending up and down over Goodwin's tenure, obviously last year we hope as Clemson fans that that was an outlier and that we do have great improvement, as you say. Man, I was shocked looking back through the LSU. The last 5 years, Walt, their average total defense ranking is 79th.
Yeah.
That's a five-year span. I mean, that's amazing to me that a place like LSU, with all the talent they have available to them, could have that kind of lingering defensive issue. So, you know, I'm just kind of kicking around in my mind, you know, how might Clemson be looking to attack them? I would assume, Walt, we're going to be leaning more on the things that we know we can depend on as far as the pass game, maybe the, a little bit of QB run with Cade, and as you said, maybe ease into that running back rotation, whatever that winds up being in game one. Because, I mean, LSU, their even their rushing defense last year was 67th. I mean, and I might be off on that a little bit, Walt, but it's somewhere in that vicinity. So they struggled just like Clemson did against the run last year, but they've been struggling the last 5 years. It was 51st. Let me correct myself. It was 51st rushing defense in the nation.
You know, they had some injuries, and that was a part of that. Weeks and Perkins were both banged up. Again, Whit Weeks is a tremendous football player. I mean, a guy who may win the Buckus. And Perkins, as a freshman, was – about as dominant a freshman defender as you're ever going to find. He's not a big guy, but Lord knows he impacted every game as a freshman. We haven't seen that Harold Perkins since, in part because he's had some injuries, in part because LSU's moved him around a little bit, hasn't settled on a position. I think they have some of that stuff corrected. I expect LSU's defense to also improve this year. You're right, it's been pretty dreadful over an extended period of time now, and it's hard. It is hard to explain how that could be at LSU. Part of that is, you know, they've had issues at defensive tackle. You know, they just have not been able to land the type of guys that they need. Now they have a kid who I don't know how much he's going to play. They're going to rely on some sophomores and McKinley, etc. But they have a kid named Zion Williams who's a freshman who Weeks has been talking up a lot. And that kid's 355. So, you know, from a run stuffing standpoint, if Whit Weeks is right, and he keeps, again, and Weeks is a tremendous football player, if his talent evaluation's right, I've not watched Zion Williams' film yet. I'm going to maybe do that this weekend and see what I think about him. But Weeks's comments about him were notable to me. The bottom line in this, I think the LSU defense is going to be improved. How much improved ultimately determines whether they're a legit national contender or not. I think it's better. I don't know if it's that much better. I mean, could I see their defense moving to 35th or something overall? Yes, I can. Now, in 2019, that was good enough to win. That would have been good enough to win them a national championship because that's what happened. I mean, they were the outlier when they did that.
Yeah.
You know, the whole history of this deal is that to win a national title, you have to be a top 25 offense and a top 25 defense. That's the whole history of the deal. The first real exception to that was LSU in 2019 when they were in the mid-30s as a defense, but they had the best offense in the country, maybe the best offense of all time. And then in 2020, Alabama proved an exception to the rule because they were also in the mid-30s on defense, but they were also the number one offense in the country. And so, you know, that was how they survived that. Since then, we've sort of settled back into the regular mold of top 25, top 25. You know, and for either Clemson or LSU to win the national title, I think that's what they're going to have to be. I mean, I don't think Clemson's defense needs to be to go from where they were last year, which was horrible by Clemson standards, to top five. I think Clemson's defense needs to move into the top 25, and then I'm assuming that the offense is going to be 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, and it just, you know, I was browsing some LSU boards looking at their comments about the defense, and a lot of their posters were pointing to just really poor safety play the last several years, and they had question marks coming into this season. And it makes you wonder, like you were talking earlier this week about Garrett Riley maybe telegraphing that we're going to see more four wide and empty sets with you know, put those safeties in conflicts, give them something to look at all over the field with the guys that we can put out there and maybe press the issue, because since LSU isn't that strong against the run under normal circumstances, you still might be able to get somewhat of a run game going, even if you're throwing out some four wide sets and whatnot. So that's fun to think about going into this game. And let me say this real quick. Well, I know you had to see it. How about the CEO and the HR lady at the Coldplay concert getting caught on the Kiss Cam
in
Boston?
I did see it, you know, and it had to be incredibly embarrassing. The one thing I will say, though, you know, Jason, the way social media reacted to that, I mean, good grief. These people have some problems. Maybe they'll figure it out on their own in their life. But, I mean, I saw people, you know, posting like 20 times about this or 50 times, and every little word and every single tweet that these people had ever said. And I mean, there's just there's an ugly element of social media too. And I think it was on display in that, but yeah, I've never seen anybody quite so caught as that couple was in the Coldplay concert. They called them out. I mean, Coldplay said, "Oh yeah, look at the couple," and then they both ducked. And the dude says, "Okay, so they're obviously."
His narration was hilarious.
Right, right, yeah. The narration is the part that made it great. Yeah, you're 100% right.
Well, I read where the CEO is worth $1.4 billion.
Not anymore.
You know, nobody's going home sad in this situation.
That's right.
Maybe he will a little bit, but nobody. Yeah. I'm not feeling bad for
him. That's right. Yeah, and his big chinned mistress.
Yeah.
See you, Jason.
Yeah. Well,
quick break.
WCCP FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed environment, Rooster's Grooming offers a unique grooming experience that's second to none. Whether it's a classic cut or a modern style, their team can make it happen. So why wait? Get your summer haircut at Rooster's Grooming. Make an appointment today by calling 864-884-8920. Rooster's Grooming, where style meets tradition.
Hey y'all, Robert Kraft here, owner of Clemson Sock Shop, located inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square. Whether you're looking for funny socks, funky socks, practical socks, or nostalgic socks, we've got you covered. We're a family-owned small business and are sure to carry a sock that will make you and your feet smile. Shop with us Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays until 4 inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square, where it's always buy five, get one free. Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at hims.com/radio, and from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio for your free online visit. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com. That's scscu.com. And apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by the NCUA.
We're here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, for folks that want to learn more about working at Snyder Tree Care, how do they reach you? What's the best way to go about this?
We're easy to find. You can get us online at schneidertree.com. That's schneidertree.com. Or call us. The office number, 864-244-3088. Online's probably the best way. You can fill out an application there or come by the office. If you want to work with us, we'd be happy to have a conversation with you.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care. Clemson fans, this is your store. The Tiger Sports Shop has the best selection of Clemson apparel, accessories, and game day essentials. Nike, Lululemon, polos, hoodies, hats, tees, you name it, we've got it. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations or visit us online anytime at tigersports.com. Don't just cheer for the Tigers, wear your pride. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters.
Go Tigers!